We'd like to welcome you to the first of what we expect will be a series of candidate interviews during the 2012 election cycle, being conducted by those of us who are contributors at DelawareLiberal.net. 3 years running, Washington Post has voted us as Delaware's best political blog. Tonight, we will be interviewing Brian Townsend, who is a candidate for the 11th senatorial district seat in the sort of Newark, Glasgow area. He can kind of explain the district runs hither and yon. And with me is Jason Milrath from the blog. I am Steve Tanzer, El Somnambula. And welcome, Brian, to the interview.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to start out by just asking you, why are you seeking the 11th senatorial district seat in the Delaware General Assembly?
First and foremost, because I believe the people of the 11th district deserve representation in the General Assembly that involves attending community meetings, reaching out to people in the district, mm-hmm. listening to their concerns, taking those concerns, and then putting them in the form of legislation that helps the district, or serving their constituents, taking their phone calls and responding promptly. I think it's very important that the residents of the 11th district have that, and right now I don't believe that they are receiving that with Senator DeLuca. That's first and foremost. Beyond that, I think right now a lot of families are still struggling, even though in some ways the economy has recovered over the past 2 or 3 years. But many people in the district certainly aren't feeling that and certainly still have concerns. And I began my career as an attorney right around the time that the recovery was starting. And things were going well for me in my career, but I would drive to work and I would realize that there are still people in the community, neighbors right down the street, people in the district who certainly could use greater efforts in the state Senate to make sure their needs are being met. And this is a community where I grew up. I grew up in Breezewood. It's a development right off of Route 4, Breezewood 1. I grew up there, and as I was entering high school, moved down to Old Baltimore Pike, the neighborhood of Westover Woods. It's still in the 11th district. So these were communities where I grew up riding my bike. I grew up knocking on doors selling Joe Corby's pizza for school trips. These are families that I've known for a long time. And to know that people in this district, however hard they're working, were still struggling to get by, still could use some help from the General Assembly, it didn't really matter to me how well my career was going. I certainly wanted to make sure that they had representation.
Now, you talked a little bit about your ties to the district, but I know that they're even more extensive than you've discussed. Talk a little bit about the schools you went to, some of the things that you've done, and some of the volunteer activities that you've participated in the district and throughout the state of Delaware, and perhaps even in foreign countries as well.
Well, my grandfather, my mother's father, he was a roofer in Chicago until World War II. He joined the Air Force, and he served in the Air Force for 22 years. Soon after World War II, a few years after World War II, in the early 50s, the family moved to Delaware and settled in Brookside, the original owners of a house on Montrose Drive. He ended up working at the Chrysler plant on 896 as an electrician, and my mother grew up in Brookside. And so my family has been here. My father's from Sussex County. He moved up to attend the University of Delaware. But my family's been Delaware born and raised and have been in the 11th district for 60 years almost. So the ties go back a long way. And again, growing up in Breezewood, which is right near Scottfield, going to my grandmother's house in Brookside every week after church, it's been a big part. I've been part of the community for many years. In terms of schools, my brothers and I, I'm one of three sons. We went to Christina School District schools throughout our entire career. We all started off at Cobbs Elementary School. At that time, Cobbs and Gauger were two different schools. Upstairs was the middle school, downstairs was the elementary school. So we went to Cobbs from K through 3. Then we took the bus into the city to Stubbs Elementary, 4 through 6. Came back to Gauger, 7 through 8. At that time, it was one school only, middle school. And then we all graduated from Glasgow High School. Then I attended the University of Delaware, where I graduated in 2004. And afterwards, I had the opportunity to go study overseas at the University of Cambridge in England and at Peking University in China, and then went on to Yale Law School up in Connecticut. But I've come back, and I clerked for the Delaware Court of Chancery for a year and have been an attorney in Wilmington since. So Delaware, born and raised, 11th District, literally my entire life, and now have been back in the community, living with family right now as I pay off my law school loans, as I wait for my my fiance is currently a public school teacher in Miami, Florida. She's from California originally. But she will be moving here later this year after school finishes in Miami. And we're looking to buy a home in the district and start a family in the district.
Nice. You also received, I think, over in Cambridge or at Delaware, a master's in economics. Is that correct?
At Delaware, yes.
Oh, great. Okay, good.
Weren't you also involved in Special Olympics to a certain degree?
Yes. Right around the time I was finishing high school, I started playing Special Olympics softball. I've been involved with DFRC, as it's now known in Delaware, formerly the Delaware Foundation for Retarded Children, now DFRC. Right. I was involved with the Blue Gold All-Star football game for 2 years as a member of the marching band in 1998 and 1999, joined Special Olympics softball in 1999, had an amazing experience, and have been involved with Special Olympics since 1999, sometimes playing softball, sometimes helping out with Camp Barnes down in Sussex County. Right. We served on the fundraising committee for Special Olympics. I attempted a swim of the English Channel to raise money for Special Olympics and raised close to $10,000 doing that. So I've been involved with Special Olympics in a variety of capacities. Also have worked at local companies in the district. While in high school, I worked at the Newark Dairy Queen. So I think in some ways, I've been serving the residents of the district for a long time.
I believe when you announced your campaign, one of our commenters on the blog said that it believes you served him ice cream at the Dairy Queen.
I probably did. Yep. If residents of the district or outside the district remember ever getting a weather report over the drive-thru headset, that was probably me. Worked at front counter, worked in the drive-thru at Dairy Queen, worked in the kitchen. That was during high school. After high school, I worked 2 summers in college. I worked at MBNA once in the Christiana area and once up in Wilmington. Also worked at Christiana Care in college for 2 years, 2.5 years part-time while in school. So I've been involved with the district through volunteering, through working at large businesses and small businesses in the district, and again, have been a resident of the district my entire life.
Now, you'll be going to Dover, presumably, if you win, you'll be going to Dover. What do you consider to be the principal duties of a state legislator, specifically a state senator?
The principal duties, hands down, should be unquestioned. The principal duties are to attend community meetings and listen to the community, to represent the interests of the community. There are many different ways that you can do that. You can be a legislator who focuses on the nitty-gritty parts of legislation and understanding how policy can be changed, how law can be changed. You can be a legislator who responds to constituent phone calls and emails and concerns. There are different ways to serve the community and serve it well, but no matter what, it needs to be serving the community, and I really don't see how that can happen if you're not attending community meetings and listening to people in the district.
I know you've started to do that already. What are you hearing from the constituents out there in the respective communities, both on a micro level, let's say, the local community level specifically, and the more macro level, the major issues facing the state? What are you hearing from them are their biggest concerns right now?
The biggest concerns I hear at community meetings, which I've been attending for the past 5 or 6 months, long before we announced the candidacy, but as we were starting to reach out in the district, DelDoc comes up at every single meeting. And I think people understand that there may never be enough money to repair all the roads that we need to have repaired. But they really just want state representatives, state senators, DelDoc officials to be in touch with them to explain how the process is working and who's going to receive road repairs when. That is certainly a big issue. In recent months, people in community meetings have talked about an uptick in home invasions and burglaries that have been happening. Some people were curious, and they'd have Newcastle County police officers come in each of the meetings and talk about the crime reports. Right. Some were asking if it was because the holiday season was here. There's always an uptick around the holidays. So we're yet to see into 2012 exactly if the numbers are going to go down dramatically or not. But that was a concern. Schools are a major concern in the district, whether you're a young parent, whether you're a parent-to-be, right, whether you're a grandparent. People are very concerned about the state of the schools. And that's actually another reason I am extremely compelled to run. I have classmates from high school who are living in the district. They live there when they're in high school with me as a classmate at Glasgow. They're now living and starting families, and they say to me, well, we're happy to be here now, but when our kids are 4 or 5 years old, we might move to Pennsylvania. We might move to New Jersey. We might move out of the district. If we don't win the Newark Charter School Lottery, we're going to leave. And I think those are the kinds of parents. If you have a parent who cares enough to move out of state for their child's education. That's the very kind of parent you need to have stay in the district, because they're going to be involved with their child's education. They're going to be involved with the PTA. They care so much that they're going to be involved in a way that we have to have parents and families involved in education if any reform at the macro level is going to be effective.
Which brings me to a question I was going to ask a little bit later, but I guess we might as well ask it now. We're now into essentially the second round of education reform in Delaware in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And how do you view the current efforts? What is your, maybe not your educational vision, but yeah, I guess that's a fair way to put it. I mean, what do you think needs to be done to perhaps get something put in place that really does best serve the needs of all the students?
I think the current efforts, and Race to the Top is a big part of that. I think they symbolize certainly new energy, and I believe a new approach as well, of really trying to focus on certain issues that are important to getting good education reform. In this case, one of the major ones is teacher evaluations. And for Delaware to have won, to be one of the first two states to receive Race to the Top funding from the federal government, that was a result of an effort to bring many stakeholders, all stakeholders together, agree on a way forward, and then begin moving forward. I think that was tremendously important. I think Governor Markell's administration did a terrific job with that. I think that over the course of the past 6 months, 12 months, maybe a little bit even longer than that, it's clear that things aren't moving as quickly as everyone had hoped. There have been waivers that have been granted by the federal government. And as I understand it, even currently the teacher evaluation portion has not been implemented. They're still kind of ironing that out. Now, I think that that is a tremendously important part moving forward. But I also think that we need to be very careful to understand that teachers, by and large, do work very, very hard. Mm-hmm. My mother's a teacher, 40 years, and still going.
And your fiance.
My fiance is a teacher. My brother is a teacher. And another brother of mine is a college guidance counselor. And so I know that teachers work tremendously hard. I've gone to Staples with my fiance, and we purchased school supplies for upcoming class. I mean, there's a teacher purchasing school supplies for her students to use. If that's the kind of funding we have for schools, and we come together as a community and decide that's what we want, then that's fine. But certainly, I think that part of the teacher evaluation process should not be that we assume teachers aren't working hard. If we need to evaluate it and have a more results-oriented or data-oriented approach to education, which I think is important, then let's do that. And I certainly hope that in the coming months we can quickly reach a point where we begin implementing that, with an understanding that if we get it wrong, we quickly revisit it. Right. I mean, we're not necessarily going to get it right the first time, but let's get something going. Let's certainly have it be understood that good teachers should not be penalized for things that are out of their control. And I think going back to your question about the sort of macro level, it's teacher evaluations are not going to be a panacea for what's going on. I mean, teachers work very, very hard, and most teachers are good teachers. A few teachers are great, great teachers. But just like anything else, it's a bell curve. And I think we need to do compensating teachers enough to retain experienced teachers and good teachers. I think we need to evaluate them. We need to pay them far more than we're paying them now and expect great things of them. Help them have the support and professional development that they need. But beyond that, I think a more macro level sort of big picture approach is we need to pull the community in ways that they're not being pulled in, specifically parents. I mean, teacher, and I've seen this with my fiance, I know my mother's been an extremely successful and well-respected teacher. You can do great things in the classroom with your students. But if they go home into an environment where they're not studying, they're not preparing for class, teachers are fighting an uphill battle and often a losing battle. And if the idea that they're going to be held accountable for test scores for students that they taught with such passion and sincerity, and then the child went home every day to an environment where they're not being held accountable by their own parents, that's we're fighting a losing battle against education reform if that's the approach we're taking. So I think a big part of that just involves pulling in parents and grandparents in our community and having them be involved in the education process. That was certainly what happened when I was a child in this district attending Christina School District schools. As I said a little bit ago, if you have involved families moving out of the district once their kids reach school age because they think that the schools here aren't adequate, the schools here won't be adequate.
Right.
It'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think it's a difficult issue. Different states, different areas are trying different things to get families more involved. But I certainly think that one huge step is to make sure that we have elected officials who are in turn involved in the district.
Do you have any specific ideas as to how you would get parents more either accountable or involved with their child's education?
Well, I know that right now there is an effort underway, DPAC, Delaware Parents Advisory Council, to be looking at this issue. There's a series of at least one event scheduled in April to go over this and just try to get parents involved in the process. Right now, we're just starting. We're at the point where we're starting to talk to parents about ways for that to happen. The parents I've met at community meetings, they are involved in their children's education.
Right. It's not those parents that you have to be worried about.
Right. Right. But obviously, the quality of the schools it kind of holds everyone back if any of the students aren't achieving. And so as we continue with the campaign, as we end up talking to every single resident in this district during the course of the campaign, we're going to be bringing this up. We're going to be asking them their thoughts. And we'll have to see what. But that's the point, actually. Is that it's got to come from the grassroots, and I don't mean grassroots in terms of politics. My campaign will certainly be a grassroots campaign, but we're talking about grassroots in terms of in the community.
Right.
And that I think that on the national level and on the state level, that's one thing that Democrats I think can need to appreciate about some of the conservatives or Republicans' concerns is that the solution can't always come from government. It's really got to be accountability with the individual, with the family. And so we're going to be looking to really point the spotlight on that issue, and we'll see how we can solve it. Okay.